The so-called gig economy is fast becoming a lifeline for a growing number of workers here in Massachusetts. People who engage in this short-term assignment work account for 90% of net employment growth in this country in the past decade. We heard about that in our Bostonomics series, The Future of Work, last hour on Morning Edition. This hour, we hear how organized labor warns that such employment can hurt workers. We discussed the gig economy with Steve Tolman, who heads the labor group, the AFL-CIO, here in Massachusetts.
The problem is that they want to have everybody in these gig economies as independent contractors. And that sounds wonderful, and it probably works wonderful for the companies themselves, but it means no benefits, probably no pension, and most importantly, I think, no collective power of the workers to improve their working conditions. You know, Bob, I think the technology and the profound changes has the potential for creating, you know, better lives, but only if working people are able to shape that change, and only if the prosperity is shared.
So how do you deal with it? Do you foresee a movement and effort at some point to try and unionize workers who are engaged in this kind of gig economy work?
Yeah, it's happening. I mean, in New York City, the Machinist Union was able to work with the drivers of Uber in New York, and things haven't totally been worked out, but then there's a lot of legal, meagal stuff that they try to tie up the union so that they cannot organize. They have categorized a lot of the gig economy employees as independent contractors, and that's a big problem because now you first have to get into the argument of can they legitimately be independent contractors, or arguably, is it just a way to skirt the rules governing wage and hours in appropriate work rules?
So you think you'd be talking to politicians about how to deal with this and going to court if necessary to try and get these workers reclassified?
Well, we actually already are. In fact, we have a bill before the legislature which would give the right to unions to organize Uber drivers. And I think it makes a lot of sense because collectively, if the employees don't have a voice, then there's no control about anything that they're doing other than just delivering people from A to B.
Let me ask about another issue. The Supreme Court case called Janus versus AFSCME, AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, the union. The case asks if government employees should have to pay money to a union in order to keep their jobs. Mark Janus, a government employee in Illinois, says having to pay those fees violates his First Amendment rights. The case could affect workers in several states, including Massachusetts, right?
Oh, it'll be the entire country. And, you know, Bob, we presume with the 5-4 margin with Trump's recent pick that this case will not go towards workers, that it'll go towards the corporate side of things. It would weaken the public employees' ability to collect union dues.
Why should workers have to pay those union dues if they're not in a union?
If they're not in a union, they don't have to pay the union dues. In 1979 or something, the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 that we have a duty, the union has a duty of representation to the employees who work there, and they should have to pay administrative fees or whatever it would cost for the duty of representation. But they don't have to pay the portion which is used for politics. And that's kind of a fair decision. But now they've gone a step farther, and they're saying that they don't have to pay anything, even though the union has a duty of fair representation. And if the union has a duty of fair representation, well, I think that everybody should share in the cost.
Last question. Is union membership growing in Massachusetts or shrinking? Are we signing up more millennials compared to what was happening in the state and other generations?
I don't know the sign-up margins, but I do know there is a lot of organizing going on, but there's not enough because the laws are very difficult to organize. Unfortunately, legality and the lawyers that are union busters, they have a lot of power and they tie things up, they delay elections. So the deck is stacked against us. We're holding our own here. The good news is a recent study said that more than, I think it was about 60% of America actually see the good in unions. And I believe, Bob, organized labor stands for everything that is right in the middle class and in America.
Steve Tolman, president of the Massachusetts AFL-CIO. Thanks a lot for coming in. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.